our third anniversary episode, and as we usually go to the racing world in April, we welcome Caroline Robinson, who was the first lady jockey to ride a winner at the Cheltenham Festival when she took the Fox Hunters on her own Eliogity in 1983, then the first to be successful over the Grand National course when she won the Aintree equivalent 3 years later on the same horse. Now she farms in Shropshire, arable and pigs with her son Anthony. She also has two daughters, Immy and Kitty, who've both followed the racing path, with Immy still race riding. And we chat about her life in racing, as well as her Mother's Day present this year. Well, good morning, everyone. Today, the horse box has found itself in Caroline Robinson's point-to-point racing yard near Shifnal in Shropshire. Good morning, Caroline.
Hi, Claire.
Thank you very much for letting me come and have a chat to you. Now, I was there at the joint Wednesday Flint and Denby point-to-point at Bangor a couple of weeks ago, where I saw you in the brilliant charity race. I gather that you were actually not the beginner at all. So would you like to tell me, you know, your background, because it's quite a story?
Yeah, well, I've always been driven by our four-legged friends. And as a child, I was all the time pony club, show jumping.
Which pony club?
I was the Operation Pony Club. Show jumping, eventing. And then as soon as I was old enough, I started to point-to-point. At the same time, I was trying to event, and I thought, no, you know, I've got to concentrate on the one element. And it was the racing that sort of took me, and I went from there, really. So I've always been involved, and I started riding when I was a teenager. And
so you're a Shropshire girl through and through?
I am, yes. Yes, well, my dad was a businessman, and luckily for us, he was a very clever businessman, which is why I can live on the lovely farm I do live on. So when it was my sister and I got an elder brother who wasn't very interested. My sister and I sort of started a hunt as young children, and Mum and Dad would follow in the Land Rover, and Dad sort of thought, well, why am I doing this? You know, I'm much better joining them. So we got him an old horse with a wonky leg called Dolly to start hacking out on. And then it was actually Ken Hamer who found him his first horse, a horse called Murphy. And Dad just went out hunting and looked like he'd been hunting all his life.
With the Albrighton?
Yes, yes.
When so instead of him starting you off, you started him off?
I started him off, yeah, yeah. And Dad always said he lived his passion through me. He would have loved to have point-to-pointed and... it was never really came round, although his cousin, Joe Evans, was very involved. But Dad, as a youngster, never actually point-to-pointed. So, as I said, he was my biggest supporter in life.
And so, to jump slightly, did he ever envisage you having a winner at Cheltenham?
Did any of us ever envisage me having
like
a winner at Cheltenham?
Would you like to just tell us how and
well,
when?
I'd been doing point-to-pointers over here and breaking horses in and everything. And I sort of thought, you know, I really need to learn more about this game. So I needed to go to a yard to really sort of get stuck in. And through a business contact of Dad's called Hugh McMahon, I ended up going to John Hassett's yard in County Clare in Ireland. John was a real rookie trainer, but boy, did I learn a lot from him. And I went there for a month with the aim of maybe buying a couple of horses to bring back to England to point-to-point. But I just realised it was a place that I was learning so much. In fact, it was nearly 5 years later that I came home. I had moved, I moved from John Hassett's to Barry Kelly, a young trainer up in County Meath, Trim in County Meath. And in fact, Eliogity was with Barry when we took him over to Cheltenham and he won then. But it was always that John Hassett was the one who mentored me and got me on the horse there.
So from there, you entered the race at Cheltenham.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it had been the aim to send Eliquity there as a 7-year-old, but unfortunately, he picked up a problem. It wasn't a leg problem; it was something else the horse suffered from. So we had to miss that year. So we went back next year as an 8-year-old, and he duly won. Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Oh, well, just amazing. I mean, I sort of went there. I'd always envisaged or hoped that I could go and ride at Cheltenham, but always thought it would probably be the evening, the May Hunter Chase evening meeting. That's where I envisaged me ever getting to Cheltenham. And in fact, my first ride was on the Irish Banker favourite at the Cheltenham Festival meeting. And I suppose looking back, that could have been huge pressure, but I sort of said to myself, look, I own this horse. I don't have to account to anybody, and just go out and do my own thing, and it worked.
amazing. And then you went on to Aintree.
Yes, well, I went to Aintree in 85, and unfortunately it came off at what is the sixth fence in the Hunter Chase, but it's the third fence in the National, which is a huge ditch. So I'd then come back to England, and I was in Lambourne with David Murray Smith, and we were making plans of what we were going to do with the horse. And, you know, David said to me, will you go back to Aintree? And I sort of thought, oh, I don't know. We didn't get round the first time. So there was a meeting at Chepstow on the Monday of Aintree week. So we'd aim to run the horse there. And then that meeting, I think, was waterlogged and was called off. And I can remember sitting around the kitchen table with David, and he said, well, what are we going to do now? And I said, well, we're entered in at Aintree, we might as well go there. So we did, and he was foot perfect that day.
And you got the whole way around the national course.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a huge platform to start a career in, you know, what you've been doing with the racehorses and stewarding and everything. That was a huge start.
Yes, it was. I mean, I just feel I was so fortunate that I hit on what was for me the perfect horse at that time in my life. I mean, he was a great horse to ride, but he was a cheeky devil. He had his way of spinning around, dropping the shoulder, and always shifting me out the saddle. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I went up to Ballykelly's yard, there were far more stable lads up there, and they said, oh, look at her, she can't ride a horse at home. So I said to one of them, okay, I'll let you ride him today. And luckily the horse did exactly what he did with me, and that chap ended up on the ground. After that, they kept quiet.
Horses are such levelers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to the Wednesday point-to-point where you chose the charity race. Can you tell us what the day was like for you? Because it's still fresh in all our minds, that huge day at Bangor a couple of
weeks
ago.
Yes, no, it was a thrill. I didn't actually choose that race. My daughter, Immy, saw it advertised. I think contacted Ollie Greenall and sort of said, oh, I think I'm going to put Mum in this. It was full at that stage, so she apparently put me on the waiting list. Then Ollie emailed her to say there's a space. The first I knew about it, Immy said, oh, there's a space in this race. I've entered you. You're going there. That can be your Mother's Day present. So I sort of saying, oh, thanks very much.
Yes, you know, it was Mother's Day.
Yes, it was. So I only knew about it at the last minute. But luckily, I mean, I ride out as many horses as we need to every day. I'm riding work the whole time. So I said to myself, it's only a mile. I'm hopefully fit enough.
So I know at Greenall Guerriero headquarters, they ran a really fantastic training day for people, didn't they? Did you go to that?
No, I didn't.
No. Well, I did see your eyes shining after the race, so you must have enjoyed it. I did spot you.
Thoroughly enjoyed it, yes. I mean, the Della checkout he's a lovely chap. He's one of our favourites, who's retired from racing now. But he did go and win the Melton Hunt Cup, which to us is something we went in. Immy was just sort of saying, oh, I'll ride this horse in a couple of team chases. And then good friend Guy Sankey said to Immy, God, you've got to go to the Melton Hunt Cup with that horse. So she entered him. I remember us having the conversation, because you've got to carry 12 stones. So Immy thought, oh, shall I even bother carrying the lead? you know, and I said to her, well, look, the horse has raced all his life in 12 stone. It's nothing to him. It would be really annoying if you got a place and then, you know, you go to weigh in and you didn't make the weight. So we put the leg cloth on him and he went and won it. And we didn't realise quite how important a lot of people look on this race. Because we went there not knowing much about it. But, yeah.
That's quite a thrill to win.
So I think Amazing. Going a mile and charity race with me afterwards wasn't too difficult for him.
But point to points, it seems to be a popular thing to add in an extra for family entertainment these days, as people, you know, want to enjoy a broader range of entertainment on the day. So are you involved in this sort of thing?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And we're always racking our brains thinking, what can we put on to attract the people? Because especially in the Easter time or bank holidays, or people come primarily for the picnic and the day out. So a lot of the time at this time of year, the racing probably isn't at its best, in that there are so many meetings on that there aren't really enough horses to go round, and you can get the match, the two-runner race, or even the walkover when only one horse declares. So you're always sort of looking, thinking, oh gosh, if something like this happens, what can we do to keep the crowd interested? The go-to thing is a dog show. Everybody loves to, you put on a dog show, waggiest tail, happiest dog.
So have you seen that done?
Oh, gosh.
And does it do well?
Oh, yeah. It does do very well. But then you can only run that sort of thing for so long. And then people are always looking for something else. So
it's this charity race gives people the chance to learn, doesn't it? And go round a proper course.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Seemed to be popular at the...
It did indeed. It was only down at the start, just sort of listening to different people and looking at the different horses. So they're all makes and shapes. That's the thing. You don't have to have the thoroughbred racehorse to go into a charity race. It can be your hunter, it can be your eventer, it can be your happy hacker, so you've got it fit enough. And it gives people an opportunity to put on the racing silks and go under starter's orders and experience what a race is like.
And who knows, I mean, that expands the grassroots of racing.
Could well do,
Which underpins everything else,
absolutely,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So from a rider to a trainer and a racing steward, Caroline, there are lots of different pressures that come into play through those different jobs. And I did catch a little interview with Willie Mullins, even Willie Mullins with all his winners, just gave us a glimpse when he said, you know, you can get a phone call, you know, how many are lame this morning? And, you know, there must be more pressure. How do you, as a trainer, you know, deal with
it's a total
a lot
nightmare.
Of that?
A total nightmare. And really, if things are going well and there's horses are all sound, you're holding your breath thinking, oh my God, when is the wheels going to fall off the next horse? There are always things that are going wrong, always, but you've got to learn how to cope with them, how to deal with it. It's no good getting yourself stressed up about it, because you would be continually stressed. So it's just dealing with each incident as it arrives. And the difficult thing is having to ring an owner on a horse who one minute has been great and on track to go somewhere, and the next minute is standing in its box, maybe on three legs, or coughing, or got a cut. There's so many things that can go wrong. And with the best will in the world, and we try and wrap these horses in cotton wool, but you can't. They're there to be trained, and they've got to be trained to be fit, and harden them up for racing. So it's just taking it. And some owners are fantastic and taking, and others, understandably, are upset. But it's just something you have to learn to deal with.
That's why all these celebrations, you see, are so much the sweeter, because
Absolutely.
It's such a difficult
Absolutely.
Job.
Yes, very
Whatever
much
Whatever
so.
Level you
indeed,
deal with horses.
Indeed,
isn't it?
You take the good times and make the most of
yes.
them.
So you do enjoy your stewarding?
I do, yes.
Is that something you take in your stride, or are you learning new things about that? What difficulties does that throw up?
Well, in life, you're always learning, aren't you, I find? Always. every day. But stewarding I started about 25 years ago, or maybe 26 years ago now, through somebody, the then clerk of the course at Wolverhampton. I had a good friend, Edward Dorrell, who I point-appointed with and everything. And he was a steward at Wolverhampton at the time. And we, our children, when I came back from Ireland, our children were at the same school in Newport, and just standing outside waiting for the children to come out one day, we were talking, and he was saying to me, you know, have you ever thought of stewarding? And I know that Michael Prosser was the then clerk of the course at Wolverhampton, and I think was sort of looking for stewards. So it sort of started there, and it brought in a different aspect to the racing industry and a different challenge. And I do like challenges, and one that I very much enjoyed. And so now I just did my day at Cheltenham last week, and
you stewarded there.
Yes, I stewarded there on the Thursday, and I do enjoy the challenge of a big meeting. And I love the challenge of stewarding. Yes.
So did you do one race or the whole
day? No, I did
meeting?
The day.
Whole day?
The day. I did the Thursday, yes.
Was it going far worse than you've ever known?
Yes, because, I mean, that applies to all the race meetings at the moment. With the amount of rain we've had this winter, there's been no let up. So horses are just continually running on heavy ground. I walked the course with the clerk of the course on Thursday because I was stewarding that day, and that's part of my role. And it was as wet as I've ever known it. I walked it again on Friday because Immy, my daughter, was riding in the hunter chase. And really, it hadn't dried out very slightly, but it was still heavy patches, soft in places. And Cheltenham is an undulating testing course with a long uphill run. And it takes some getting the trip in that sort of ground.
With that in mind, was there anything that really stood out for you from the meeting?
Yeah, well, the being a hardened point-to-pointer and hunter chaser, it was Sim Nonnery and the Needhams winning the hunter chase that really stood out. She's a fantastic mare, brought along so well by Fiona, and it was just wonderful to see her as an English trained horse to go out and beat the second horse that JP McManus had bought just before the meeting, that On the Line. And it was just lovely to see that mare go out and win.
Yes, it was a huge pleasure. Also in the Hunter Chase, your daughter Immy had a great ride, didn't she?
She did indeed. She rode a horse called Django for Sarah Dawson, trained by Charles Collins. And he was at one stage 100-1. I think he was returned at maybe 66 or 40, something like that. A horse she had been second on at Taunton, won on at Warwick, and then been fourth at Haydock. And he just ran an amazing race. He was probably, I think in the report it said held up at the back early doors, but I think he was probably going as fast as he was able to early doors. But coming up the hill the final time, Immy knew this horse and kept asking. And one of her biggest thrills was she managed to just beat Patrick Mullins on a Willie trained horse on the line.
Wow. Well, and you did you say that the horse hunted with the North Cotswold normally?
Yes. In fact, he'd been out on Saturday before Cheltenham. Yeah.
Well, so secret of the success there.
Maybe, exactly.
Yeah. Now, what I'd like to finish with are some quick-fire questions, Caroline. Your favourite racing pundit or commentator? You must watch racing wall to wall. Is there somebody who really...
Well, in the old days, Peter O'Sullivan, you know, the name of Peter O'Sullivan was synonymous with all the big races. And in fact, he called me home when I won at Aintree. And after the race, he gave me the filled in race card that he'd called the race from, and I've got that framed and it's in my hallway. So he was somebody who would always stick out in my mind.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, some advice for all of us. Your go-to racing outfit in all weathers. You must have to call on some old favourites to keep you warm, comfortable, smart.
Yeah.
What are the secrets?
Gosh, at this stage in my life, I've got a cupboard full of them because I'm getting on now and I've been stewarding, and luckily I don't seem to change in shape, so the same outfits I've had for years still fit me. So one minute I'm sitting as I'm sitting now in jumpers and a dirty top, and the next minute, like later today, I'm going off stewarding, so I've learned to be able to turn it around in an instant, grab whatever I grab from out of the cupboard, and off we go. So a good pair of, I know it's advertising, but Fairfax and Favour boots have been, I've got my children's there, I've got every colour, and but they are my go-to boots because they're comfortable and smart, and that's important.
They certainly are. Now, what would you look for foremost in a horse to stand out from the crowd if you could pick your ideal trait?
I never know. It's something that catches my eye and what that actually is. I like an alert head and an alert eye. I love a good big swinging overstride, a horse who brings our hind legs and overtracks well, and just natural athletic movement.
And intelligence, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Lastly, have you a joke or a motto that you would recommend for us?
I don't know about a joke, but my motto is never give up trying. Kick on, never give up trying. If I hadn't lived by that, I probably would have given up a long time ago and had a much easier life. But
I think we could all follow that. Thank you, Caroline. I feel very lucky to have been given the chance to come and chat to you. And thank you ever so much
for
talking to me. A glimpse of the contentment of her horses at the yard showed me the work and care and dedication that goes on behind the scenes. All Caroline's horses and achievements are clearly built on very firm foundations. Thank you for listening, and share with your friends, and listen out for next month when it could be you in the driving seat.